Leslie Gore is our guest on the Cafe today. She has been a singer in the public eye since her teens, when her version of It's My Party, an early production by Quincy Jones, spun to the top of the charts and made her one of the biggest female stars in the world. In a bit of a departure for Leslie, she has a new singer-songwriter album called Ever Since. She writes, and others with her today, like Mike Errico, make contributions to what is a very intimate album. And I asked Leslie Gore about what led her to do this different, more intimate kind of a record.
Many years ago, when I was working with Quincy, one of the things that Quincy felt was really important, and he was a great mentor because of this, he taught me what to do in a studio, he taught me how to do it, but he also felt it was really important for me to understand live performing. And at that time in New York, we had some of the greatest clubs ever, Basin Street East being probably the greatest of all. And Quincy hung out a lot there because a lot of the people that he worked with were playing there constantly. So he'd call me up at the end of the day on a Friday and said, "Little Bits, meet me at Basin Street East. Peggy's going on at 9. Or Dinah or Sarah Vaughan." And he would literally talk to me during the performance, say, "Watch this, look at this, listen to what the drummer does." And he kind of taught me things inadvertently that I needed to know. And I think that that was kind of what I was thinking in a funny way when we put a lot of these songs together. I was thinking, wouldn't it be wonderful to just be able to depend on some great songs and sing them where the voice is sort of the leading instrument and not the back in the background, as we did with so many of the songs from the 60s, those records.
Right.
So that was kind of the idea, to kind of clear the way for me to be able to sing some of these songs and be able to reproduce them as well as possible in a studio as well as in a club.
I should let people know who don't realize, because they might scratch their head, that the Quincy is Quincy Jones, and that Leslie Gore's original productions were done by Quincy Jones. Because
I thought there was only one Quincy in the whole wide world.
There is only one, actually, except for the one that had the television show. And you actually developed this relationship with him, which sounds fantastic, to have him be able to kind of get you entree into those places.
He was really wonderful. I mean, I think the thing that scared me the most was getting up in front of people and trying to perform for them. So Quincy was very helpful. He helped me get arrangements together. And the first tour that I did of England, he came with me to England to make sure he helped rehearse the band and get me kind of going. So he was really, a terrific guy. But he did understand. I was only 16, so I really did need someone to kind of help me through that. And he was the guy. He raised his hand and he was there.
Leslie, how did you get in that position at age 16? I've always been curious.
I was taken with singing from the time I was quite young. And at one point, I decided I'm going to take vocal lessons. I was about 15 years old, and I was living in New York City. So I found a vocal coach through a singer and a chorus person that I had met in Las Vegas. She was from New York, and she gave me the name of this vocal coach. So I called him up, and I made an appointment, and I was living in New Jersey at the time in Tenafly, but I took the train and the bus in, and I went to meet this gentleman, and he thought I had talent, and he started working with me. I worked with him for several months, probably 6-7 months, and then one day I came into his studio, and he said, "We're not going to have a lesson today. We're going to go to this little studio upstairs, piano voice studio, and just do 3 or 4 demos," which we did. Piano voice, very simple. Those demos got to Irving Green, who was the president of Mercury Records, and Quincy at that time was head of A&R. So Irving put those demos on Quincy's desk, and the rest is pretty much history. Wow. Quincy called me up and asked me if I'd like to work with him. I had a pretty good background of jazz because I was a real jazz lover as a kid, and I knew Quincy's work, fortunately for me, so I jumped at the opportunity.
And the rest. The rest leads us to where we are today, which is the new album from Leslie called Ever Since. And which direction do you want to go next? What song?
We thought we'd do a song for you called Cool Web. I love this song. Whenever I sing it, it really takes me to another planet. It was written by a great friend of ours, John Fisher. So here's our version of Cool Web.
There's a cool web of silence winds us in. Words melt us down and we spin again. The less we speak, the less we cry, you and I. waiting to be led from the fire to the cloud where the cool, cool silence winds in. You should have told me that you
Leslie Gore talks about that song, Cool Web, taking her to another place. And
doesn't it feel like you could be on a magic carpet to Baghdad somewhere?
Absolutely. Or a theme song for a great movie. A great time.
Oh, I like that, David.
Yeah, okay. Absolutely. We'll place it.
Forget that Baghdad idea.
You know, I don't want people to think there's been, you know, 1960s, all of a sudden here she is back singing again. There's been a lot of things in between.
Absolutely. No, the only thing I really haven't done is done a new album. I've been in the studio writing songs. I've been playing casinos. I've been doing Smokey Joe's, as you mentioned.
Right.
I've been out there really trying to take advantage of as many opportunities as were out there for me. And there have been some fantastic shows. And I'm always kind of doing something new.
Now, your brother is a writer as well. You write some with him?
He is, actually. He's a songwriter, and he's a music producer. His name is Michael, and he did all the music for the film Fame.
Right.
So we co-wrote several things together out here on my own and the Hot Lunch Jam. And he won 2 Academy Awards that year for his wonderful version of Fame.
But you were nominated the same year.
I was, for Out Here on My Own.
Yeah.
Didn't make the cut.
Now, how come you're in the same family? What's up? Was that from your parents that you both got into music?
Yeah, I don't know. We're still trying to work that out. I know both parents appreciated music, but neither of them were particularly musical. So, I don't know. We're still trying to get DNA from the milkman.
Who could carry a tune? And the milk
guy always came
well.
In with another song every day. Leslie, listen to this.
You had some experiences back in the day that were kind of unique, and people who were follow media from those times probably know about some of these things, such as you were part of what was the first real chance for a lot of people to see major musicians on the screen, which was the Tammy Show.
The Tammy Show, of course.
And with the Stones and Smokey and James Brown.
The Supremes. Jan and Dean, Smokey, of course. Who else was on that show? James Dean, you mentioned. Jerry and the Pacemakers. Right. There were a lot of wonderful folks.
And now, when we saw that, it seemed to be all just like one, you know, continuous show. But I understand it was filmed over like a 3-day period.
It was filmed over 3 days. I think we rehearsed for one full day or 1.5 days, and then they shot about 3 shows. But it was kind of shot in real time from the beginning to the end.
Okay.
And then they took the best of stuff, I guess.
Now, that probably kind of recreated what you had to do, which was go out on package shows a lot. So you would be out on shows like that when you went. I mean, touring was different.
Touring was different. Dick Clark did a lot of what he called the caravans. And I frankly never really joined the caravans, but sometimes I didn't go on the bus tours. Sometimes I would get on a plane and join them, say, in New Orleans for a really big show or something like that. But I didn't really do too much of the cavalcade thing.
Well, you were always smarter, Leslie, so that was a good
move. That was a smart move, I'll tell you.
I'll bet. Well, one of the things that is on this album is a recut of a song that I think a lot of people know, which is You Don't Own Me, which is a song, you know, It's My Party is a great song, mm-hmm. but You Don't Own Me has legs and speaks to people, I think, over the years, and it's actually probably grown in meaning over the years. Has it done that for you?
It certainly has grown for me. I think every time I sing it, it means something else. So it really was the one song, if we were going to choose one to revisit, this was the one that seemed to really have the most growth and takes you to another place.
Now, this song, people may not know, was written by a couple of guys.
From Philadelphia.
Very big songwriters, I was going to say, around here, Dave White and John Madera.
Absolutely.
Did you ever talk with them about the song, about how they came to write it?
You know, I never did. They were just incredible. They were very proactive. I was working at a hotel in the Catskills called Grossinger's when it was still there, and I was performing on a Saturday night, and they came up to the hotel, found me at the pool, took me into a back cabana, and played You Don't Own Me just on guitar. I flipped out. I called Quincy. It was a Saturday. We met Dave, and John came up to New York on the Monday. We played the song for Quincy, and by the following weekend, we were in the studio.
Well, it's a great one, and I would love to hear a new version.
You're welcome to. This is our new version of You Don't Own Me. You don't own me. I'm not just one of your many toys. You don't own me. Don't say I can't go with other boys. You don't own me. Don't try to change me in any way. You don't own me. Don't tie me down, 'cause I'll never stay. Don't tell me what to do. Don't tell me what to say. When I go out with you, don't put me on display. You don't own me. I want somebody who will be true. You don't own me. You don't own me, and I don't own you. Thank you.
say, oh, oh, oh. I don't tell you what to do. Just let me be myself. That's all I ask of you. I'm young. I love to be young. Oh, I'm free, I'm free, I'm free. I love to be free, to live my life.
How great to have this band to cut that very cool new version of You Don't Own Me.
It is great to have the band here. Thank you all for this incredible experience.
And a song that has been cut by the Blow Monkeys, Joan Jett. Of course, there's a Percy Faith version, but there would have to be.
Oh, the Percy Faith version. I remember that.
Dusty got it. Dusty Springfield cut it also.
You Don't Own Me, she certainly did. Great.
And, of course, a big revival of that song in the First Wives Club.
That's right. With Bette and Goldie and Diane.
But there's the version. Leslie Gore is our guest here in the cafe. You got to pick a favorite. Whose song are you going to do next? I mean, of all these songwriters here.
That's a great question. Do we have anything else we want to do? Oh, one of my faves. Yes, we're going to do one more Mike Errico song for you. This is a song called, I actually think of this sometimes as the sequel to You Don't Own Me. We call it Someday. Someday I'm gonna get where I'm going. Someday, someday, somewhere past the blindness of my fate, I keep my eye on the plans I've made. And someday I'll get there. Someday, past the smiles that crack like frozen lakes, under children's figure skates, oh, I'm past all of my own mistakes, a thousand more I've yet to make, but I'm going, I'm going. Gonna get there, I know it. I'm gonna get there, I know it. I do not care how long it takes. I do not care what stands in my way. I don't care what anybody has to say. I know myself.
call myself, and I am not afraid. And someday, oh, I'll get there. I'm gonna get there, I know it. I'm gonna get there. I'm gonna get there. I know it.
Someday, another Mike Errico tune finishing up our session today with Leslie Gore and this great band. These tunes are on an album called Ever Since, which critics have said, and I think they have a good point, that it's some of her best work in a long, long time.
Thank you. That's very satisfying.
Absolutely. Leslie Gore, our guest. Thank you very much, everybody, for coming
today. Thank you, David.